And we spoke about the different attitudes a person has to have. If he's a stranger in the place, he should thank Hashem that he doesn't know people, and therefore he's got free time. If he's with his relations, Hashem, he should thank them for that. All the different levels. And he said, Dafka, a person who's not married or doesn't have children, he's in a very good situation. He brought from the Hasidim Aprushim that used to run away from their homes to the mountains in order that their minds would be completely pnoi l'avoida selokim. That's not our avoida, by the way. I don't even think that Aprushim today is an avoida for us. It's bichlal not. Although there is what we can learn from it. There's certain times of the day that's what you have to be. You come to the Beis Midrash for 2 hours, switch off your phone. You know, that's precious for us. Precious for us is, you know, can you carve out an hour without taking calls? that's already precious. You have to find ways of isolating ourselves. Interesting this. Don't know what you do with this, but he brings it, so we have to learn it. Umasupa al akhara tzadikim shebole medinachas kered lamed es toishaveya la'avod es elokim. And the tzadikim went to a certain place in order to teach them, you know, don't you kiruv, teach them how to serve Hashem. Ve'yimotza isam shem levushim, malbushim, ve'takshitim betzeva ochit. They all wore the same clothes and the same adornments. Ve'drosha kvorim shelem ayusmuchin lepisre batayim. The graves were right by the entrances to their houses. There were no women. He asked them, what's going on? You all wear the same clothes. You put your graves next to your front doors. There's no woman here. What is going on? So they answered him, we all wear the same clothes, so you don't see the difference between a rich man and a poor man. We all wear the same. So nobody can distinguish who's poor, who's rich. The rich man shouldn't come to pride and to glorifying his wealth. And so the poor man shouldn't feel lowly. Beautiful, no? When people ask you why you're Haredim all dressed the same, got a nice answer for them now. Beautiful, huh? We should all be the same while we're on the land. So we'll all be the same on the land, so that it's the same as when we're under the ground. It sounds like communism, no? It sounds like China, this. We'll have to see whether this is a good thing or not. I don't like this. There was a certain king that sort of mixed in with these people. You couldn't see the difference between the king and the servants on his externality. He dressed himself very, very lowly. So they shouldn't recognize him. So that's the reason why we all dress the same. So that there shouldn't be gaiva, there shouldn't be shiflas, everybody feels the same between the rich and the poor. That which we put the graves of our relatives next to the door. When you walk into the front door every day, you have a look there, there's the keva, you realize, oh, we're not going to be here forever. And you start getting ready for the big day. We'll prepare for ourselves what we need to take with on the journey. Because that's what's going to take you and escort you to the next world. Are the mitzvahs and the maisim tovim we do. So if you only go to the Beit HaKvaros once a year or whatever and it's far away, you don't remember. But when you have a keva right next to your front door, so every day you go out, you come in, you're reminded that time here is limited. So that was the third thing. I don't want to live in a place like this, but anyway. That which you see that we separated from our wives and our children. You must know that they're in a community not far from you altogether. We go there and we come back. The time shall see no zois. The reason why we did this, we play Shorini is tiedus hamachshava v'sahepsed arav, because we saw the incredible tied hamachshava and the enormous hepsed is goylatich v'yagir shiyesh lanu k'shehem bekirbatenu. When they're very close and they're with us, the children, the families, we see how much it's torrid us. V'shiyesh lanu menucha mikol ze k'shehem rechayki mitarin. We have enormous menucha when they're further away. Enables us to be focused on Olam Haba more than Olam Hazeh. Now we have to know that's not poshut, it's a big kashya, because that's not the way a Jew is supposed to live. Hashem tells us to get married and have children and raise them. Who's going to raise your children? Who's going to take care of your children? You just abandon your children, you leave your children, you go live somewhere far away because you want to just be have a nuchas hanefesh? Who are we talking about here? Not so poshut. But it seems there was a time where people were able to do this and was the correct thing to do. I would not recommend it today. There's a community there's a koilol there where the guys come every Sunday morning and go back Friday morning. But there are no beds there. You're ready to sleep on a shtender every night? Okay, maybe we can talk about it. Once a newly married guy asked Rav Pinkus Zatzal the following question. His wife Maskims, and he wants to join this Koilok Trushin. He wants to go off and he wants to go sit and learn the whole week and come on, you know, for Shabbos and whatever. Can he do it? So Rav Pinkus said to him like this. He was a big masmit, this guy. He wasn't a bum. He was a big masmit. He said to him, if you're going to go back to yeshiva and you're going to learn like you learned when you were a bocher, you're going to get up for davening on time, you're going to mamash, keep siddurim properly, you're going to have your little lunchtime hafsakah, you're back in the midrash on time, you're going to learn night seder, you know, you're going to keep your siddurim, you're going to learn, you're going to, every moment is going to be used for learning and you're not going to waste time and whatever, then for sure you can't. Why? Because you just want to be a yeshiva bocher with a wife. You're not doing anything more than you're doing when you're a bocher. So you want to be a yeshiva bocher with your wife, so for sure you can't. He says, if you're going to go back there and you're not going to sleep, and you're gonna have 10-minute lunch times, and you're not gonna sleep during hafsakah, and you're gonna get an hour before them. Your mom is really gonna push yourself way beyond the norm. So then, for sure, you can go. So the guy decided to stay at home. He was looking to be a yeshiva bocher with a wife. Well, that's not what it's about. So I'm saying, no. Anyway, this is very remote from us, and it's nothing that's got any relevance to us. This, but again, what can we learn from this? So there are times in the day where a person has to be a porush. There are times in the day where a person has to forget that he has a wife and children, whether it's half an hour a day or an hour a day or it's the whole morning, whenever it is, and have yeshuva das and luchas and efficiency and be over as Hashem and use that time one day a week, whatever, I don't know, however you have to work it out, but the person has to, the vort is that a person needs to free himself up to avoid as Hashem, and the betochen he has to have is that a kosh bo will take care of what he has to take care of. Anyway, this person's answer to the tzaddik was Matzah Chen Ben Tzaddik V'hu Berechotam V'shibach Es Hanogosam. He praised them and gave them a brocha, and he was very, very impressed with them. V'im Yesh L'Adam Isha V'Krevim Ohavim V'Hivim. Person has a wife and relatives, some that he loves, some that he doesn't love so much, some that don't love him so much. Yiftach b'elokim sheyatzeloi soy mehayegir v'hatir d'shem goyim imlo. You should have betochen in Hashem, daven, that Hashem will protect him from all the toil and tircha that they cause him. V'yishtadl l'males chavoysov klapeyim u'lehazbir es retzoyne b'lev sholem, and that he should be able to fulfill his obligations to them and to fulfill their rots on b'lev sholem. He should be, when your wife asks you for money, you have to do it b'simcha, it's a mitzvah d'raisa. And he shouldn't put a heavy load on them. And he should concern himself with things that are good for them. And he should be faithful to them in all matters. And he should teach them the correct ways to conduct themselves in matters relating to Torah and the world. Those things that will enable them to serve Hashem. You have to love your fellow man like yourself. So the same as you find ways and means to serve Hashem, you have to help them to also. V'nema oed lo sinos lo sisuna esachicha bilvavecho. Don't hate your friend in heart. V'tovu salalu hu yase itam lo mitoch tikva lekabel mehem schar al zeh. The good that he does for them, not because he's trying to get reward. And not because he wants payback time when he needs the help. You know, you owe me one. Not that why he's doing it. And also because he doesn't want the thanks and the covet. Someone gets thanks and covet for doing people favors today. I didn't know that that's like a lot of things that we don't know about, yeah? Pushim and... You get covered when you do people good. The other rabbi, the more good you do sometimes, the more you get it. Not because he wants to have, you know, wants to be the hero ruling over them. The reason why you give your daughter a credit card when she's going to the canyon is because you're doing a mitzvah, I say the raisa. If it's, you know, you have to know, it depends. Yeah. What you machayv to give, what you not machayv to give. V'kedei lishmo es torosev es tzivuyov klapayem. To keep the Torah and your commandments relating to them. Kimi sh'oisek b'tzachem ito yikavona la'ached advarim alalu le'yosig es mashu mekave la'asigmem me'oilam hazeh. V'yigiyose tiyeh l'reik. Somebody who's giving and doing what he's supposed to be doing for all these wrong reasons, so he's not gonna get what he needs, and he's not gonna receive the benefits he's supposed to from this, and he's gonna waste his time. It's gonna be yegiosa tielareik. V'yabsid eschol be'olam. He's not gonna get a reward for it in olam haba. Ulam imu meitiv lehem rak mitoy kavana loivid bezeis elokim. The reason why he's bestowing goodness on all these krayvov and all these people around him is to serve Hashem. That's why I'm doing this. Hashem will help him that he'll be able to give them good in this world. And he'll raise their worth up in their eyes, and he'll look choshuv in their eyes. And he will achieve that enormous schar in olam haba that's waiting for him. Even what you didn't ask, I gave you. Also, Isha and covered. I didn't just give you what you asked for, I gave you even for what you didn't ask for. So that's... The person has to know, the people that one has responsibilities to, is if you don't have them, so one should be grateful, because he doesn't have them, it's a big oil. But if he does have them, then he has to fulfill them, not because he's trying to help them, and not because they think they need him. They don't need you, Hashem will take care of them. But because he has a chiyuv, Hashem gave him a chiyuv, and he's doing this because he has a mitzvah, Hashem, to do this.
Who are we talking about? The people who he's responsible for?
We have in the third category of betochen, it's the correct betochen a person should have, klapa his wife and family.
But you say it's good if he doesn't have these people.
We say, what happens if the person doesn't? Everything's good. Everything Hashem does is good.
If he doesn't have a wife and children.
If he doesn't have a wife and children, there's something good about that as well. If he does have a wife and children, there's something good in that as well. Everything Hashem does is for the good. You look around the world, you see the people that we say, God forbid, don't have a wife, they don't have children. God's been trying for 50 years to have children, he hasn't had children. So that's bad? No, for him that's good. Why is it good? So he explains the different things that it enables him to do that other people can't do. The Hashem is, he is unique avoider. The person does have a wife and children, so he's good. He's unique avoider. It's all good. It's all good, but that's the that's a person has a chiyuv. A man has a mitzvah to get married. He has to be mishtadl to be married. But if Hashem says no, not if he messes up and doesn't make the mishtadlis and doesn't whatever, but Hashem decrees this guy or Rahman al-San, this family is not going to have children. They were great kedoshim soul that never had children, and because of that, were able to achieve enormous big things that they wouldn't have done had their children. Not Hashem's cheshbon nesof. All the different relationships. He's got people that work for him, he's got family, he's got children, he's got this, whatever. So he has to know that the reason why he's taking care of them, supporting him, doing what he's supposed to be doing with them is because that's what Hashem said. Not because he has because he wants benefit from them, or he wants them to say thank you, or he wants covet from them. It's not a problem today not wanting covet, being chesed for people, not getting covet. It's not so hard, because most people don't get too much covet in the world. There was a certain Yid that I know, I heard the story from him. I might have mentioned, if you've heard the story, stop me, because it's not really to go what we're doing, but it's just to answer your question. One of the Gedolei Yisrael was his father-in-law, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, and they couldn't have children for a long time. They didn't have children. So he sent Rav Shach to the Chofetz Chaim. Rav Shach was learning in Litta at the time. So he sent Rav Shach to the Chofetz Chaim to go get a brocha. So Rav Shach came to the Chofetz Chaim to say, Rav Zalman, my uncle sent me to ask the Chofetz Chaim for brocha for his daughter and son-in-law to have children. So the Rav Shach said, I heard this from the story from the child who was born from the brocha. I heard it very close. So he told me that Rav Shach, the Chofetz Chaim looked at him and said, I don't understand, who wants children today? Who would want to have children today? If Hashem gives you children, Ramayli, you have to do the best you can. But to daven for children today? Then who knows what will be with them? Who knows what's going to be? The Haskalah taken over, people were falling off the derech left, right and center, the Holocaust was looming close. Who wants children today? You know what the Chofetz Chaim said?
We can't think like that.
The Chofetz Chaim said it. The Chofetz Chaim said it to Rav Shach, and Rav Shach reported it back to Rav Zalman. I heard it from the grandson of Rav Zalman, who's a neighbor of mine. Anyway, he told Rav Shach, just end the story. Your wives, when you tell the story, your wives are going to know how the story ended. Because that's the end of the story, klappe us. But whatever. So he said, tell Rav Zalman that they'll have children, which he understood meant two. And they're two children. The wife of the Tifrach Rosh Yeshiva and her brother. Anyway, so that's the two children that came out of that relationship. But you know what the Chofetz Chaim saying? The Briskerov left some of his children. When he escaped from the Nazis, his wife and some of his children stayed in Brisk. When he escaped, he couldn't get back to Brisk. He was away, and then the war broke out. He couldn't get back, whatever. She was still there. He couldn't get them out. He managed to get some of the kids out. Eventually made it to Teretz Yisrael, and he, with some of the kids, other kids, no one knows what happened to them. They thought they got liquidated when the Brisk ghetto got liquidated, but one of the Talmidim was there not long ago, and he went through all the lists of all the people liquidated. You know, the Nazis kept unbelievably accurate records, and her name, the children's names aren't in any of those records. So no one knows what happened to them. But the Briskerov was always worried what had happened to them. He wasn't worried if they'd been killed. That wasn't what he was worried about. He was worried about that they'd lost their ruchnis. He was worried about the ruchnis. He doesn't come in this world to live 100 years of doing nothing. He comes in the world to for a purpose, and he can't fulfill that purpose. But that was the Chofetz Chaim then. You imagine how bad it was. We have no musag what the world looked like pre the Holocaust, when there was who was left in the Beis Midrash? Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky testified there was him and his chavrus with only two bochrim left in the yeshiva, and they only stayed because his uncle was sending money to the Rosh Yeshiva to give them money, whatever, to stay in the Beis Midrash. He stayed for that. Otherwise, he would have borached as well. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Who was left in the Beis Midrash? There was about 120 bochrim left in the great Slobodka Yeshiva at those times. There was nothing left. The schools were emptied out, the haskalah eaten up. Rav Shach says, who wants to have children? Who's davening for children today? Can you imagine such a statement from the Chofetz Chaim? Didn't understand the value of children. And then when Klal Yisrael came to America, whatever, the Gedolim encouraged them to have big families, because already then people didn't know what big families were, whatever, and encouraged them to now start building. Now there's what to build, and look what we have for Rav Shach because of that. Yeah, we have to daven for what the Torah tells us to daven for. We have to want what's the right thing for us. We have to make every shtadlus to help people get married and have children. Avada. That's what we have to do. That's our shtadlus. But if a Kodesh Baruch has a different plan, so then it's our job to find the good in every situation and utilize that correctly. That's what he's saying. But if Hashem gave you this situation, this is what's best for you. Now go and use it to serve Hashem as best as you can. He can become a rob of an outlying community where there's no chinuch for his children, whatever, and he can manage to do great things, whereas a guy who's married with children couldn't go out there and do anything. Rav Simcha Wasserman was able to change the whole world because he didn't have children. He was able to be in Los Angeles all the years. What would have done if he had children? He would have had to leave straight away and move back to New York. What would he have done? Yeah. Derech HaShimush הנוחם ובתוכן באלוקים במה שנוגע ליחוסוי כלפי הכיתוי תשויני של בני האדם. The correct utilization of בתוכן in Hashem regarding the different groups of people that he has relationships with. הם אלו שמעמודם אוילי על מעמודוי. Those that are standing is higher than his. ואין אלו שמעמודם נמוך ממעמודוי. And those who standing is lower than his. Who's זה? שכשיאלץ עיסוי ההכרח לבקש משהו מבני אדם, האוילים עולו במעמדם. When a person is forced through his situations to go and request and need something from someone who's on a much higher standing than him, status, whatever that means. As yiftoch bedover hahu alelokov, he should have betochen in Hashem on this thing. These people are just a means to an end, what we call ishadlers, that via them Hashem will bring the thing from koyach to poel, but not that they're doing anything. The same way as he digs the ground and he plants seeds and he waters it, and from that he gets his panosa, not because he did anything. The grass was going to grow, it wasn't going to grow. That's how he's to relate to these people that he's asking bequests from. Hashem told me I've got to make ishtadlus. I asked the guy please to help me, but not because I have any tzipiyot that he helped me, but because I'm trusting in Hashem. If Hashem wants him to have panosa from the ground will sprout forth his wealth. You don't say thank you to the land for this. You should say thank you to Hashem alone. Now there's a big problem. He's telling you it's also to have a korus atoiv, to the means that provided you with your panosa. Now if the means happens to be the ground, fine, so don't say thank you. Although we said Moshe Rabbeinu is not allowed to hit the river because he has a korus atoiv to the river, I don't understand him. Fine. Not so partial. The Chavis of Lavovus' whole theme through the entire Chavis of Lavovus is a chorus of Toiv. And he's telling you only to Hashem and no one else. So it could be like this. We try to answer like this. I won't say this answers it, but it's a Pesach. Is in Hilchas Betochen, you don't have a chorus of Toiv to anybody else because it's going to weaken your Betochen. It's all Hashem. This guy that helped you, this doctor that helped you, he did nothing in the world of Betochen. But in the world of being a mensch, in the world of having a chorus of Toiv, in the world of knowing what a mensch is, why do you have to say thank you? And we see many examples of the Gedolei Israel who, when the Ponovitch Rov was being taken from the ambulance to the hospital, I think it was his last journey. So they got to the door of the hospital, he said, take me back to the ambulance. I don't know what he wanted, but you didn't argue with the Ponovitch Rov. They took him back to the ambulance, he said, thank you to the driver, and he said, okay, now we can go. No, the driver did anything. Ponovitch Rov hadn't learned Chavis HaLavavos. No, Vada. It was all Hashem, and thank you Hashem. Aval, on the other side of the fence, I have to be a mensch. To be a mensch, and therefore there's a chiv to have a korus atoiv, but you have to be careful that it doesn't interfere with your betochen. You're having so much a korus atoiv to the doctor, you forget that it's Hashem that healed you, and the doctor didn't do anything. It's duck.
You have to live your life on two levels, basically.
At least, you've got to be completely multiphrenic. You know, they have schizophrenics. The Jew's got to be multiphrenic. You need a lot of different. I'll tell you a Moedika thing. I saw. Not end of a course of faith to you for giving that book about the Rabbi Gamala. That's good. Unbelievable. Everyone should read it. It's amazing. I'm not big into biographies, but this biography is written by Talmud, who brings out his Torah more than like, you know, glorifying. You see what a human being he was. Amazing, amazing insight. It's unbelievable. He was involved in many, many community projects, protests and politics and whatever at a certain level. Unbelievable what he did. He did mad stuff. I mean, it was amazing. He used to publish little pamphlets and they get people around putting them in people's post boxes and protesting and whatever. In many cases, he wasn't matzliach. And he never got mutzban, he never got upset, he never got angry. He did what he did and it didn't work, didn't make any difference. And he knew what was going on. He was a visionary. He saw what was happening to the moral decline in America. He knew what was going on. So somebody once asked him, listen to this, you're about living on multi-levels, listen to this. Don't you get upset? All the effort and energy you're putting in and the waste and the energy and the money and whatever, and the laws there? Listen to this. He said like this. He said, if I'd come in the world to change the world, and that's why I was doing this, then I'd be very upset that I'm not matzliach. But I came in the world to change myself. The reason why I'm protesting is because if I don't protest, then to me it starts looking like it's okay. I'm making the protest or whatever it is, doing the shtadlus, whatever, in order to build myself. Not to change the world. No, I changed myself. I shouldn't be matzliach, I shouldn't be mesameach, because I changed myself. It means when you see something going on in the world that's unacceptable, you don't protest it and you don't get angry about it, yeah, it's not good for you. Because it starts looking normal to you. You hear about all the abortions, you hear about all the breach of moral attitude, whatever, and you think, oh, there's nothing I can do about it, so you go back to bed. It starts looking okay to you. Your level of morality starts going dragged down with societies. The way you prevent yourself from doing that is protesting. However you do, whatever, I mean protest. I don't mean go and throw stones at the whatever. Right. I mean find a way.
When you see a car driving by, you shouldn't throw a rat. No, in your mind.
Valid kosher ways of protesting.
In your mind, you should scream at them in your mind.
Maybe you should put up maybe you should put up a poster. Maybe you should send a letter to your local councilman. I don't know, whatever you have to do. Whatever you need to do in this area, whatever, in order to protect your own integrity. So you see, there you have it. We're living on many different levels. In order to be a mention, a human being, you have to say thank you to the guy that gave Rivik Miller's book. At the end of the day, it had nothing to do with him. He's a garnish. I have to thank Hashem that he arranged for him to bring me this book. So thank you, Hashem, for giving me this book and for getting the writer to write it. What did he do? Nothing. I don't have to have a Parashat Toiv to him. Mitzad Sheni, he's not having a Parashat Toiv to people for what they do for you. You'll eventually, the Gemara says, you'll deny the existence of Hashem, Rachmana Litzlan. So why do you have to say thank you and you have to have a Parashat Toiv? Thank you is not enough. Thank you is an excuse for a Parashat Toiv. Why do you have to proper Parashat Toiv? That's how we have to live on a multiple level. Total betochen that was from Hashem, it had nothing to do with it. That's what he's saying. Mitzad Sheni, on the other side of the fence. If I stop saying thank you to people, I start wearing a Chorus of Tim, I'm going to become an ingrate and a behemoth. That's also not good. So you have to be able to juggle and balance those two things. But it's an assign in Betochen where you're not allowed to have a Chorus of Tim to anyone that's doing anything for you.
Even for Victor Miller.
Huh?
Even for Victor Miller, you shouldn't have a Chorus of Tim, right?
Ultimately, no. In this world, no. Hashem wanted me to get this message, whatever. He just happened to be the guy that happened to get me these messages in Achinami, but on the other side of the fence.
Even parents.
Victor Miller was walking up the staircase once, and somebody behind him didn't realize there was someone walking behind him. He was thanking Hashem for the banister. You have to thank Hashem for everything. And the guy that put the banister there also knew it a little bit. But Hashem sent him, so you have to Hashem ultimately to Hashem, yeah. But you have to thank the person also. You have to be a mensch.
But how does this have to do with parents at all?
Parents also. Parents also.
In the world of
Betochen. In the world of Betochen, I never cross. What did they do? It's all Hashem. Mitzad Sheni. You got to be a Jew. Jew has to have a Chorus HaTov as well. How do you juggle Ishtadlis in Betochen? It's the same question. This is all Beged Ishtadlis. We're in the Perikya of Ishtadlis. Saying thank you and having a close to people is in the world of Ishtadlis. But it's not so easy. That's why you have to be multi-phrenic. You have to be able to juggle. Gemara calls it the doctor's dilemma. You have to know that you're doing nothing, and you have to know that if you don't do everything you can, you're a murderer. You have to have those two parallel lines in your pockets. No, Baruch Hashem, it's a new year. We just got the Torah. Let's go for it. Let's go fight back. Just see these guys sliding away.